We're live.
Ms. Macaluso, we don't see it on the camera here. Are we being streamed both as well as Zoom? I'm sorry, could you go to the microphone? I can't hear you.
You're still like streaming through Zoom, but we just took it off this TV because it was adding to the reflection and there's you're not going to be able to, I mean, we don't have any presentations or anything like that through this regular meeting.
So we're good to go?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the June 14th, 2021 meeting of the University City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Prior to moving to the approval of the agenda, I do think it is appropriate to pause and reflect that I believe it was today or yesterday that we passed over 600,000 lives lost due to COVID and the pandemic. And I know that that weighs on each of us, and that has weighed on the decisions that both this council and the city manager has made over the last 15 months. To my colleagues, we are very grateful to see all of you face to face now and to be in person. To the public, we look forward to seeing you in our chambers, hopefully starting in July. We are a little boxed in here, so we're getting used to that. I know on behalf of my colleagues on the council, we all are honored in welcoming Councilmember Klein to her first meeting of the City Council in chambers. So congratulations and welcome to you. We are glad to have you with us. We've enjoyed you by Zoom, but we're glad to have you in person as well. And again, to all of the citizens that are watching, thank you for your patience. We realize this has been frustrating for you as well. With that being said, is there a motion to approve the agenda? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the minutes of the May 24th study session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Clay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the May 24th regular meeting of the City Council. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I'd like to take this moment to thank the citizens who have provided written comments to the city clerk and that have been disseminated to all of the council members prior to this evening's meeting. Again, we hope that this process will change in July so that we have the pleasure of hearing your comments when you are here with us on these items. I will now open the public hearing for the fiscal year 2022 annual budget and capital improvement plan. The hearing is now opened at 6:37. I would like to acknowledge any comments that the council has received through the city clerk. And since there's no one here to speak, I will close this hearing at 6:38. I would now like to open the public hearing on the Avenir project. I will open it at 6:38. And once again, would like to acknowledge the citizens who took the time to provide comments to all of the council members by providing them to us either directly or to Ms. Reese prior to this evening's meeting. Since there are no citizens here to speak this evening, I will close this hearing at 6:38. We will now move forward with the consent agenda. You have before you three items on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, if I might, before I start with the first agenda item up under the City Manager's Report, I would like to introduce the new Assistant City Managers. Gabby Macaluso will be taking over responsibility for both economic development and communications. I know that you've seen her trying to help us out with the Zoom tonight, as well as our IT manager. Brooke Smith will have responsibility for our putting together our housing program and the execution of that housing program and anything that deals with construction and development. So they are both very talented people, and I am pleased to have them on the executive team. Thank you. This first item up under the City Manager's Report asks that we provide you with an update on the opening of the facilities. As most of you know, City Hall is currently open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're steering residents to the front door for entry so that they can be screened. We're encouraging our residents to comply with the CDC standards as it relates to the wearing of masks. Disabled residents should call 862-6767, and we will make arrangements for their entry into the building. For the disabled residents, we also require a screening process. We are targeting the first meeting in July of the mayor and council for opening the council chambers up to the public. And I would respond to any questions that you might have regarding the opening of City Hall.
Are there questions of the city manager? Mr. Clay.
Very quickly, thank you, Mayor Crow. Very quickly, could you just talk about the screening process, what that entails?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, when a citizen enters a city hall, we run a temperature check. And so that is the only screening that we're doing at this point to make sure that the individual is not running a fever.
And how long do you anticipate that process might remain in place?
We're exploring how long that will be required. Most of our actions are based upon the policies established by the county. So it's unknown at this point. It will certainly be in place until the 1st of July, though. If there are no other questions, I would ask Mr. Dunkel to come to the microphone and provide an update on the opening of our pool and Centennial Commons. Mr. Dunkel.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mayor Crow, members of council. Centennial Commons and the pool have basically been open two full weeks and covering three weekends. Turnout has been varied, you know, depending on the facility. Our first weekend that we opened up, we had very poor weather, I would say. It was very cool, cloudy, rainy. So we had very light turnout the first weekend. The past couple weekends, weather has been a little warmer. This last weekend was really hot. And we see the attendance of pool has increased dramatically with the heat. We've had good crowds, sometimes a little overcrowding here and there, but our pool can handle up to 900 people, even though that it might be more than what some residents have remembered in the past. We still have plenty capacity on that end. Centennial Commons is a little different. Say for the health and fitness side of Centennial Commons, turnout has been fairly light, not where we were prior to COVID. But I think some of that is just people getting back into a routine. We do still have the limited hours on that, so that might come into cause of why there's some light turnout at certain times of the day. However, the gymnasium seems to be very popular, pretty much, especially after 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon till close, that we have a pretty good crowd in gymnasium playing basketball. So that has gone very well. You know, staffing continues to be an issue, not just with us here in University City. You look at other municipalities, you watch the evening news, there is a shortage of lifeguards throughout, not just the area, but throughout the United States. Just part-time employees, there's a shortage everywhere as well. And even from on a full-time basis, we have some shortages as well. But we are working on those things. We're progressing. We're still taking applications, interviewing individuals, and hopefully bringing people on board here soon. But from an overall operations, things have been fairly smooth. We've had a couple incidents at the pool, but nothing major at this point. And we're looking at those things and how to deal with those incidents. But overall, it's been fairly smooth. Like I said, staffing remains our number one issue at this point.
How many open positions do we have then, staffing-wise, either at Centennial Commons or at the pool?
Basically, it's not just a number of individuals. It's a number of hours because we have some, you know, we got to fill shifts. You might have someone who wants a part-time job who wants to work 28 hours a week opposed to someone who only wants to work a Saturday morning for 4 hours. But kind of looking at generalities, we're looking at probably about 11 more part-time positions, and we have one full-time position that we still need to fill.
Mr. Clay?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So I understand a lot of our hours are driven by staffing. It's my understanding that are we currently operating under the auspices of access being free to those who are not members?
Yes, access is still free to residents. That is correct.
Okay. And I know there was some conversation about extending that or not extending that. And I'm not sure if you or the city manager is the person who can address where we are with that and the thinking associated with it.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we are considering leaving free access to the pool for residents as well as to Centennial Commons through July the 6th. This would allow for our residents to have free access to those facilities during the Independence Day celebrations. But after that, we would start to, we'd go back to normal operations.
And do we have a sense of the revenue implications? I know if we did the whole summer, it was some $200,000. Am I remembering that right?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I would need to research that again. I just don't have those dollars with me. Those figures with me. So we will provide you with the information there.
Okay. And does that come back to council? Or how does that, is that an administrative decision? If we're going to be free till the July timeframe,
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that was an administrative decision that I made to keep it remaining free until July the 6th.
So I'd just like to know what the revenue implications are for that.
We can provide that information.
And I know Mr. Cousy wants to speak. I'm just going to be the one to say, if we're going to do this starting possibly starting July the 6th, the sooner we communicate this to our residents, probably the better, because I think that's probably very important for everyone. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. My apologies, Mr. Rose. When you first started talking about opening city facilities, did you say anything about the community center? And what's the schedule for opening the community center?
Mr. Dunkel, do you have any information on that?
Right now, that all depends on staffing. I mean, that's our biggest issue right now. I do not have staff to take reservations for rentals, you know, for that facility, nor does CNON have the custodial staff to the setup and the takedown of that. So as we, right now, we do not have a set time frame on that. That is all going to depend on how we get staffing on board.
Yeah, I assume that would mean that we don't know then when the boards and commissions that meet for us will be able to meet in the community center. None of that's been decided, I guess.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, the intention is for all boards and committees and commissions to begin to meet in person starting July the 1st. So we will need to make those arrangements so that can occur. I'm not sure that necessarily means that they will be able to meet in the community center, but they will be able to, we will be able to accommodate them meeting in person.
Thank you.
Anything else on this matter? Mr. McMahon.
I just had a couple, hopefully quick questions. Programming at the pool, is it just still a staffing issue that we can't do any of the programming that we might have done in the past? I know there are some comments floating around about water aerobics, swim lessons. Just, is there an update on that?
Yes, Councilmember McMahon, right now we are not offering any programs that the city is running. And again, this is all due to staffing. Right now I only have one rec supervisor on duty doing three jobs at the moment. So as we get other people back on board and we start moving forward through this process of getting other part-time staff as well, full-time staff on board, then we will start looking towards our programming and what we can do.
And the second follow-up question, I think we all got an email today. Maybe not everybody got it today, but it was about some maybe disruptions at the pool and it was crowded. But I think the concern that I had was that the lack of attendees at the pool weren't listening to the lifeguards. But those are outsourced positions. What's the interface between those outsourced folks who answer to the contractor and what's the next step when there is a problem? Do they know what to do next if there is a problem that they just can't get answered and there's a disruptive attendee?
Yes, Councilmember McMahon, the lifeguards, if people aren't paying attention to them, we do have managers and assistant managers on staff that is also part of that contractual agreement. They will handle those issues. And if there are light issues, they will do it in person, coming and talking to the people. If it's something beyond that, they will contact the police. They will contact my staff to make us aware of these issues as well.
Mayor, if I could just add on to that, Councilmember McMahon, today, Director Dunkel and I had a discussion about ensuring that all of the citizens, all of our residents that are at those facilities have the opportunity to enjoy the activities and ensure that they are safe when doing so. So we have received commitment from Chief Hampton to have an officer posted at the facilities during the opening time periods so that we can have a greater assurance of the safety of the patrons of those facilities.
Can we move on to the next item? Oh, I apologize, Mr. Smotherson. Thank you.
That's okay, Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, just a quick add-on to this discussion. Is there a way, because I've heard about the incidents in the pool, but you're not just having incidents in the pool, you're also having incidents in the gymnasium where attendees are not listening to the people that work there. But the question that I wanted to ask is, I think one of the reasons is out of ignorance. There are a lot of rules and regulations. Can we post that information on a board in the pool so that people can see what those regulations are. Like they shouldn't be walking through the lap swim lanes. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, meaning people need to see and be able to be shown these are the rules and follow those rules. And that same thing I would suggest for the gymnasium, you know, because they need to see that posted. That way there's no denial. It's right there in front of you, if you understand what I'm saying. So I think a lot of it is just simply out of ignorance, if you understand what I'm saying.
Mayor Pro Tem, I'll defer that to Mr. Dunkel.
Councilmember Smotherson, staff is already addressing that. So hopefully here in the next few days, you will see some things posted.
Thank you very much. Next item, Mr. Rose, please.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, the next item, item H2, is a special event policy consideration. This item was placed on your agenda based upon the study session item that you considered earlier. And if there is a desire to make any immediate changes to the policy, you have the ability to do so. My recommendation is that you forward the policy to your Parks and Recreation Commission for consideration and identifying how that policy might be strengthened.
Are there any comments regarding that particular item? Mr. Hales?
Not comments. I was going to make a motion.
I'm not sure that we necessarily need a motion. I'm happy for us to have a motion. I think if you want to, John, do we need to have a motion on? I'm happy for you to make a motion, Mr. Hales. That's perfectly fine. That this matter be referred to the Park Commission for further review. Am I correct?
That is my motion.
Is there a second? Mr. McMahon, is there a discussion? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. The one area of concern that I have when this does go to the Parks Commission for further discussion is the amount of a security deposit that we would be requiring any organization to pay. I think the $1,000 is a little bit too steep. So if we could maybe ask them to take special attention in looking at that.
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Cusick, I think that I, as well as Director Dunkel, have received the message that there is a desire to perhaps streamline the process for University City residents. And I'm sure that Mr. Dunkel will pass that information along.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item, item H3, is ask that for your consideration of a conditional use permit for 8630 Delmar PC 21-08, the Avenir project. Mr. Dunkel will be presenting this item. Mr. Cross will be presenting.
Hey, we're all getting back into the swing of being here live. It's taken a little practice.
If we can pause for one second, I'd really like, can we have a motion before we do the discussion? Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Mr. Cross.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Rose, City Council. Good evening. As you had indicated, this is a request for a conditional use permit in reference to the Avenir project. If you recall, the Avenir project is the planned development, mixed use development that's at the intersection of 170 and Delmar. I guess that's the west intersection because we have multiple ones going on there. If you recall, this actual item requires multiple actions. Originally, it required what we call a map amendment or a rezoning from the multiple underlying zoning districts that previously existed. And ultimately, it was rezoned to a PDM underlying zoning district, which is our planned development mixed use. After that, you did consider the preliminary plan component, which really defines the scope of the project. It shows the number of units, parking, the associated restaurant use, and all of that came back before you late last year and ultimately was originally approved. Now, bear in mind, you are gonna see an amended preliminary plan tonight as well, which really isn't much different than what was originally approved, but we have to come back before you because of a couple of the changes within it. But throughout the process, there were some conditions that were identified that must be addressed through the conditional use permit process. And specifically, the floor area ratio associated with the project. When you look at floor area ratios, it's really a way to restrict the size, the height, and the overall scale of the project. For this particular use, and based on the underlying zoning of the prior underlying zoning districts, we look at this process, and you are required to get a conditional use permit when the floor area ratio exceeds one, specifically when it goes between one and two. Throughout this process, the final floor area ratio that was determined that was needed for this project was 1.09, hence why we're here tonight seeking that particular conditional use permit. In addition to that, the west and the north property lines were seeking relief from the prior underlying zoning district requirements pertaining to the setbacks. The proposal requests to have a reduction in the required west side yard setback from 30 feet to 24 feet. The north setback was requested to be set back from 30 feet to 20 feet. However, in working with the Plan Commission, we determined that you could not decrease the required setback by more than 20%. In other words, that setback can be reduced to no less than 24 feet. As a result, that's why we're here. So you'll note in the condition for that particular use that the developer must have quiet title ownership of the strip to the north, which is currently owned by St. Louis County, and they are seeking a quiet title to that at this time. So in summary, based upon that, the Plan Commission at their May 26th Plan Commission recommended approval of both conditional use permits subject to that condition that the developer agrees to maintain the north green space and seek ownership of the north strip of the right-of-way, which would have to take place before the final plan approval, and that will come back before you at a later date. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there questions from members of council? Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Cross, just briefly, with the setbacks, is the request that we received something out of the ordinary for a project similar or like this?
It is not. Actually, when you look at the zoning ordinance, I think one of the concerns that are constantly brought up is that this setback is further in than the required landscape or the buffer. I've heard that concern. Setbacks are not the same as buffering. They are two different components. Setbacks are the setback that's predetermined per the underlying zoning district, and the buffering requirements are part of the supplementary regulations that are intended to make incompatible uses less incompatible to the adjoining properties. And based upon the location of both of these setbacks to the public right-of-way, they have, in addition to the setbacks, they have the right-of-way widths that separate them from residentially zoned districts.
So just so I'm understanding, that this, one, by the nature of the project, because it is taking up a large portion of that area, the setback exception isn't as impactful as it might be in a smaller situation. Is that kind of
correct? And that's the beauty of the plan development districts. It gives you that flexibility to move stuff around to for unique situations and specific developments.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. A couple of questions that we received over the weekend. When this came back to Plan Commission with the updates, did the footprint of the building change?
It did not. There was no significant change. I'm not aware of any change at all, actually.
And did the proposed height change or get larger?
It did not.
Okay. And could you just take a moment, because I know we have a lot of people watching this likely at this time, to explain just a little bit about the density as it was previously zoned versus the density in the PDM.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And you're going to see this in the preliminary plan and the revised map amendment. So one of the questions that's come up is the density consistent with A, what could potentially go there, and B, what is currently there? And obviously it's going to have increased density to what's currently there. But as a staff, and we touched on this in the prior preliminary plan approvals, our task is to determine whether or not this plan development is consistent with the current underlying zoning that exists. In other words, we want to prevent a developer from doing some sort of camouflaged rezoning that increases density, which is much greater than what's already allowed there. In this particular development, it has multiple properties that have multiple underlying zoning classifications. You have a combination of medium density. I believe you had some high density. You had some single family. You had some general commercial. What staff did in its initial analysis was to evaluate each of the underlying zoning district square footages and compare that to what would be allowed as part of a site plan approval process. So what I'm saying is, say for example, an elevator apartment building is allowed by right in the high density residential district. If a developer came to us as a staff and said, I want to build that, what's my density? The density is set by the prior underlying zoning district, which would actually, if you look at each of those underlying zoning districts that were originally there, which would actually allow for an approximate 49 units per acre, where this development only will allow or have 45 units per acre. So if they went through the standard site plan approval process, they could theoretically get more density than going through this process.
Okay, thank you. And one last question. You know, we had a number of meetings with the neighbors to the west. There were a number of concerns and conditions that we discussed incorporating and requiring of the developer. I assume those are still in place and will be part of the final plan.
Correct. You'll see these actually in the preliminary plan that's coming back before you later. There were the three original conditions that boundary adjustments need to be completed. The conditional use permit, which is why we're here on this particular case, needed to be completed. There needed to be some approved engineering and bicycle locations approved, and all that needed to be done before the final plan approval, which will come back before the Planning Commission and ultimately before City Council for final approval. I've said it multiple times, the preliminary plan is just the process to give the blessing of the project, then the developer goes out and does the legwork, and then ultimately they come back with the final plan and you look at them and say, okay, it's the same plan, we adopt it via ordinance and then it's recorded.
Mr. McMahon.
Just to follow up on an issue that Jeff mentioned, Mr. Hales mentioned, and hopefully, I think we've explained this before, but I've gotten questions about it and I want to make sure. But the developer has included within this project space some shared parking with other entities that this developer owns.
Correct.
It's one party that owns multiple parcels that he's put together and brought this together. So in the density calculation, not only do we have the ordinance, but we have the calculation of the acreage. And there have been disputes as to how that's calculated.
Correct.
Can you explain for me how the all the parcels, how the acreage is calculated? Because if you change any of those numbers, that density number changes. So
correct.
How is that calculated?
So it depends on whether you're going through the site plan approval process or the plan development. With the plan development process, we actually calculate the entirety of the project, the total 6.5 acres or whatever is being proposed by the developer. We then do a 15% reduction that's required via the ordinance, and then the calculation is based upon that remaining square footage. And that's what we did in this case here. One of the things that has come up is, well, how can he use his parking as part of his total square footage? And I clarified this at the Planning Commission. First off, the ordinance doesn't say he can't. You know, he can. There's nothing that prevents that. And in fact, when you look at plan developments, and this is what, you know, you'll see this in a lot of plan developments, the purpose of plan developments, especially in states like Florida, is a transfer of density rights. Because you may have 20 acres of land and only 5 acres of it is buildable, the other 15 swampland. So the intent is to allow for flexibility to get the highest and best use of your property. And as a result of that, you get the transfer of density rights. So in a sense, plan developments are intended to incorporate the entire project and each of the uses that are incorporated within it.
So if I'm understanding it, it's taking the developer sets out the parameters of the property he's going to use for the development. And if that includes some kind of shared parking with other property, that's part of that plan, because that's how he's going to accommodate parking issues or how to get deliveries in and out, even if it's a shared process, because those will alleviate, will those kind of things alleviate some of the concerns residents have about parking, about traffic, how deliveries are made, that kind of thing.
Correct.
And that's why exactly it can get included.
Right. That's right. It's exactly correct. And that's why we looked at it through the entire process, through Traffic Commission and so forth.
Any other questions of either Mr. Cross or the city manager? Hearing none, you have a motion before you for the conditional use permit for 8630 Del Mar. It's been motion and seconded. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this agenda item asked H4 that you consider a conditional use permit for 1004 Pennsylvania PC21-04 Sustainability Training and Residency Center. The Planning Commission did not recommend this item. I concur with the Planning Commission's recommendation. Mr. Cross, is there information to present on this item?
No, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, but this was part of the formal process on this particular use that needed to go through this process.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to have a motion on the floor. Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion now? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to ask a quick question. And the question I have is, with this process and the Planning Commission not approving this, is there an appeal process for this organization or this group to come back to them? Is there a way that they can actually resubmit this? And because I'd like to see that this go back through the Planning Commission and try to get their concerns met with this issue.
Well, you have various actions you can take tonight as a council. The applicant could have voluntarily withdrew the application and then had it reconsidered. You as a council, depending on your action tonight, if you deny this request tonight, then there is a period of 1 year before the applicant can come back and make a new application. So the answer to your question is, depending on what decision is made here tonight, you as a council, you have the right to kick it back to the Planning Commission for further vetting of the project. What I can tell you is this project has been through 3 different Planning Commission meetings and considered up every way around. I think, you know, the biggest concerns is, what is the defined use? I don't know if that was ever found. Staff, it was tough from the beginning. Staff looked at the use. It had this components of dormitories. It had components of training centers. One might have been allowed via the conditional use permit and the GC, which was the underlying zoning district. One was not. As a result, staff made a determination that the applicant would be allowed to go and apply for the conditional use permit, because under the general commercial zoning district provisions, it states that if there is a use that's similar in nature, but not exactly the same, and the zoning administrator determines it's similar enough, he or she can then recommend that it goes to the Planning Commission through via the conditional use permit process. And quite honestly, as a staff, I didn't want to make that call on my own.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor.
I apologize. I don't know whether Mr. Kusick was first. I don't.
Okay. Just to follow up for Councilman Smotherson, I think each time this came before Plan Commission, we were on this subject for about 2 hours over each of three meetings. And I can tell you from my recollection, particularly the last two meetings, the commission was very focused on what is the primary use of the building. And I don't think based on their actions that they were at all clear that the purpose requested was the primary there. And then just a question, the motion is to approve when we take this vote.
Well, Mr. Smith, the motion was to approve, correct? Correct.
Correct.
Mr. Kusick.
Further clarification. So the motion is to approve this conditional use permit and not to approve Mr. Rose's recommendation?
The motion before the body is to approve, so it would have to be voted down. Correct. By the way, this was a conversation that was had as far as the protocol, as for us to have the discussion, the motion needs to come forward to approve. And if there is a different pathway, and I'm not sure suggesting that for folks, if there's a different pathway, you can always work with Mr. Smotherson and see if there can be an amendment. But at the same point in time, I've been on council a long time, and it doesn't usually come to us with someone who's been to the Planning Commission three times and someone then that has not met the needs of the Planning Commission or staff to then fulfill the purpose of what the intended use is of the building. But that was my editorialization. Your question was, is there a motion? Yes, there is. And the motion is to approve.
Okay, thank you. And I would just like to point out that at the very beginning of this process for this project on Pennsylvania, the developer or the permit did approach myself and Councilmember Klein, and at the very beginning I had reservations about this project, and I do not think that I can support this and would like to go with the recommendation of the Planning Commission, because there were still a lot of unanswered questions. One of the things that the permittee is stated is that it will be a sustainability training and residency center, but it's not clear who those individuals would be. I certainly would like to see this area developed and something go in there and this building not stay vacant. However, I still think that there are a lot of unanswered questions as to what will happen there. And I also need to remind everyone that the permittee did submit something to the Planning Commission. I believe it was in the March meeting in which myself and Councilmember Klein it was explained to the Planning Commission that we had approved it, and we did not give our approval to that. So I would just like the record to show that, please. Thank you.
I believe Mr. Clay, then Mr. Smotherson. Mr. Clay.
And just very quickly, so if we approve this, we are
overriding
the recommendation from the city manager.
My recommendation, because this is you have to have a form of a recommendation from the Plan Commission. So this recommendation of denial was by default, so to speak. So my thought would be you would approve the recommendation of the Plan Commission and deny the request,
right?
The use
so
request.
In approving, you're denying. In right. Denying, you'd be approving.
Right, but I would state that in the motion. That's just my, Mr. Mulligan may have a different, but.
Well, that was a little convoluted in that conversation. We're going to come back to that one if we can, Mr. Clay, in just a second. If we need to rework the motion to make sure that it is appropriate, we'll take care. We'll get there. Is that your same question, Mr. Smotherson?
Yes, sir. And Mayor Crow, what I wanted to clarify is that I wasn't necessarily stating that in the motion to approve it. I was not, because
correct.
I'm open to an amendment to that. I just wanted to clarify and make sure we follow the process.
Correct. We That's wanted it. To have a motion on the floor. And so we have a motion on the floor that likely is going to get amended at some point in time, just for clarity for everybody's sake. Ms. Klein.
I just wanted to comment that
With Councilmember Cusick, we were, you know, had an initial conversation with Ms. Wade, and initially I was really supportive of the project. I, you know, I appreciate her desire to serve underserved populations, and you know, was hopeful that she would be able to, you know, to put this through. But I think in the end, she really wasn't able to demonstrate that she's ready for the scope of this kind of project. And, you know, so I'm grateful for the Plan Commission who went through, you know, all of those questions and all of those levels and was able to determine that it's just not going to work. So that's my comment.
Am I on? Thank you, Ms. Klein. In order to make sure that we don't have confusion and we realize that the motion was made simply to have the discussion, Mr. Mulligan, is there a more appropriate way for this motion to be amended than so that we have clarity and the appropriate protocol?
I think the motion is appropriate procedurally. So the council will be voting on whether or not to approve the conditional permit application. And that's what's before the council. So and the council has that in the packet. The council has reviewed that, and then we'll make a decision on whether to approve or deny it. So if the council's desire is to deny it, then they would defeat the motion. If the majority of council does not vote in favor of the motion, it would be defeated. It would not be approved.
Is everybody on the same page on that? The motion before us is to approve the conditional use permit for 1004 Pennsylvania. That is the motion that is before us and is discussed. Are there other questions or comments to be made by members of council? Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor, I just wanted to be clear on what my recommendation is. It's consistent with the Planning Commission's, which is to not approve this conditional use permit application.
Thank you very much. I believe due to the fact that we're doing this also by video for everybody, it's probably better for us to do a roll call vote on this particular item. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll on conditional use permit for 1004 Pennsylvania?
Councilmember Cusick?
Nay.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Nay.
Councilmember Clay?
Nay.
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember McMahon?
Nay.
Councilmember Hales?
Nay.
Mayor Crow?
Nay. Thank you very much for the discussion. Thank you very much for everyone moving forward through that. We will now move to unfinished business. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading, please, of Bill number 9432.
Bill 9432, an ordinance amending chapter 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from planned development mixed use zoning to planned development mixed use district and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you. May we have the third reading?
Bill 9432, an ordinance amending chapter 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from planned development mixed use zoning to planned development mixed use district and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much, Ms. Reese. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson? Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. The measure has passed. Can we now have the second reading of Bill number 9433?
Bill 9433, an ordinance approving a petition to add real property to the Markets at Olive Community Improvement District and finding that such additional property is a blighted area.
We have the third reading.
Bill 9433, an ordinance approving a petition to add real property to the Markets at Olive Community Improvement District and finding that such additional property is a blighted area.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. The measure has passed. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward with new business. Resolution number 2021-9. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson?
Oh, no.
Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now have the introduction of bill number 9434. May we have the first reading? Oh, I apologize. Who would like to introduce? Mr. McMahon. Okay, I apologize. Mr. Rose?
Honorable Mayor and council members, prior to the bill being introduced, I would like to amend the proposed ordinance. It would be your page number J2-8. Up under F4, I would like to strike fire marshal. And under F5, I would like to strike assistant fire chief and add deputy fire chief. Those are all of the proposed amendments.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon, since you had introduced, are you okay with those changes? Mr. McMahon has voiced his approval that that is okay. Madam Clerk, would you please give us the first reading of the new bill 9434?
Bill 9434, an ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage and repealing ordinance number 7143.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward with council reports and commissions. Any reports from any members of council? Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. The library board did meet. They are in the throes of preparing for the work that needs to be done per their proposition. So we're looking forward to that getting underway. Undoubtedly going to be changes, and the library will be communicating how those changes will be handled, but looking forward to that process getting underway, and clearly looking forward to the end of it when we have some much needed renovations in the library.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. I just again want to mention really the extraordinary work of the Plan Commission. They really have a kind of a Herculean task with all of the development proposals and things. And they are very, very thoughtful, methodical in how they approach every issue. So I just want to share my appreciation for all of the Plan Commission members, as well as Director Cross, who spends a lot of time with them.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I'd like to send my kudos out to the members of the Stormwater Commission. I believe that the members of that commission have been going over and beyond the call of duty in the last couple of months. They've been working very closely with the Army Corps of Engineer in the flood study that the Army Corps has been doing, as well as doing site visits throughout University City and even into parts of Overland and other areas to inspect items that have come before that commission. And hopefully we will have more information in the next couple of months about the early warning system, that we have two of the rain gauges in place under operational. And I believe the third one has been approved by the city of Overland. So that will be installed soon. But it just seems to me that the members of that commission have just really been going beyond what we normally ask our board of commissions. And I thank them for that.
Anyone else? Now move into council comments. Any comments from my colleagues separate from the commissions? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. In the last couple of months, I've been receiving, and I believe Council Member Klein has as well, we've been receiving quite a number of emails from concerned residents that have a variety of issues in those emails about vehicles, trees, streetlights out, traffic issues, road barriers, security, inspections for homes, the community center and the pool, trash issues, and issues of animal rights. And in every case, when we've referred these issues to the city manager and his staff, they seem to get right on it and respond to these residents immediately. So my hat is off to Mr. Rose and his staff for taking care of our citizens' issues and concerns in a very quick fashion. And I just wanted to say thank you.
I know that Mr. Rose appreciates that, as do all the folks in this room and the folks beyond. So any other comments from members of Council? I have just a few remarks, very brief, to everyone. I had the pleasure of attending the Mannequins in the Loop award ceremony last night. It was great to see the 12th annual version of that. And if you get a chance, Audrey Jones does an incredible job volunteering, putting that together. And it is amazing to watch how just those mannequins slow down people to watch what is going on and see the excitement that was there. To Gabby and Brooke, we welcome you. We're glad to have you with us. I think you're joining a great crew. And to all the folks who are watching, hope that you will go out and enjoy the Ruth Park Golf Course as it celebrates its 90th anniversary, which is pretty impressive. So to everyone, we thank you for joining us. We hope that we know we have one more meeting in June where we will be doing this hybrid that we've got going right now. And then hopefully in July, we will be fully public. So I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much. We will now move into closed session.